Hello, and welcome to Rainy Day Diaries, an imperfect podcast that will dive headfirst into how you can thrive in your creative life and business, even if you struggle with mental wellness. I am your host, Jennifer Lynn, and as a longtime struggler of anxiety and depression myself, I hope this podcast will help you realize that you could still get stuff done when you deal with all these crazy things on a daily basis, that you're not alone, and that falling down does not mean you won't get back up again. I thank you so much for listening, and as always, if you have any suggestions or questions or topics you'd love to hear about, please email me at jenniferlynn@gmail.com. Thanks. Enjoy the show. So in today's episode of Rainy Day Diaries, I am interviewing my friend Juliet Meeks, who might actually have a different last name now because she just got married, which is super exciting. And she is an illustrator and surfer pattern designer and all around super cool person. So continue and let us know if you have a different last name, if you want to.
Hey, Jennifer, I'm so excited to be here. I have not legally changed my name yet, but that is the plan. But I am, however, going to keep my business name the same just to kind of like, because of the internet, it's just so much easier. Everything's been set up Juliet Meeks, but I will become Juliet Meeks O'Keefe. So that's exciting.
That is exciting.
Our dog is still Roxy Meeks dash O'Keefe, though. So
the hyphen is totally fine. I'm sure she doesn't mind.
Yeah.
So I kind of mentioned what you do now, but what did you want to be growing up? And then how does that kind of integrate into what you're doing now?
Yeah, I guess I didn't have a super clear direction growing up. I loved animals and wanted to be a vet really young. And my uncle was an artist, so I was always inspired by him, but I always found it hard to get to the point of feeling like, oh, I can be an artist. So then that's kind of how I entered the graphic design world, because that seemed like a great way to segue into the art world that was more practical. So then, like, as high school happened, I started getting into graphic design. I did a poster contest. And then in college, I was an English major. And then that's what I graduated with. But I still was taking lots of design classes. And when I graduated, I was like, nope, just going to stick with design. Not going to do anything with my English major, which I still loved. I'm glad I did that. But went straight into doing like design internships and kind of didn't really look back since.
So was it hard to get a design internship when that wasn't your major? Or were you taking like design classes in college or like on the side somewhere else?
I started taking design classes like the end of junior year, I think it was. So kind of last minute and a lot of senior year. So by then I felt like, but it still took me a while to get my groove with design. I was definitely not very good in the beginning. And I look back and it's like really cheesy, bad stuff. But you know, and then something kind of clicked and I really hit my stride. And then I felt more confident like applying to internships, although my first internship was unpaid because that's just like, I graduated in 2012. So it was actually a pretty tough time to try and find a job. So I was like, I can get an unpaid internship at least. So that's what I did.
And so you started with graphic design. I know you do some branding stuff now. And then how did you come into like illustration and surface design?
Yeah. So I actually just completed my last branding project. And So my plan this year is to move on from that. I'm still doing some like kind of upkeep branding work with some of my previous clients. Like if they need something, you know, it's preferable to really work with the original designer that did your logo. So I kind of started out doing like finding that branding was my strong suit, but then kind of knowing that I did want to get more into illustration as more of my passionate side. So I would just kind of dabble in it and just kept dabbling. And then I finally, after I did finally get a full-time design job at a local newspaper. And then I, you know, ultimately decided to leave from there after 2 years. And then when I had all this like more free time, I did the 100-day project, which I'm sure you're familiar with. And that is what made me create lots of illustrations, it was watercolor patterns specifically. So that is really what kicked off everything.
So segueing, what were your teen years kind of like?
So my teen years were, well, they were interrupted by Hurricane Katrina. So I grew up in New Orleans, and as I was entering my sophomore year of high school, Hurricane Katrina hit, and so my parents were divorced at the time, and both of their houses flooded completely. Oh my goodness.
Or both my houses flooded completely. So that was just like, you know, that was definitely a significant event of my teen years, because then after that we had to evacuate and I lived in Atlanta for almost a semester, but I was pretty determined to get back to New Orleans. So it was kind of like, and then the rest of high school, you know, New Orleans is completely rebuilding. So it was interesting. And I went to a few different high schools because of Katrina. So, yeah. So, but you know, I felt like at the time, I mean, it was tough, but I was just so happy to be back in New Orleans that that kind of trumped everything for me. And, you know, I wasn't unhappy after losing our homes, if that makes sense. I was just grateful to be back in the city that I loved and grew up in.
Does your family still live there? Sorry.
Yeah. No, my family did still, they came, you know, both my parents came back, but now, actually all of my family has moved away, meaning mostly just meeting my parents. And so it's just me here and now my husband and his family. So yeah, my dad lives in DC now and my mom lives where her parents live in a small town in Alabama, which I go to often.
Oh, that's different. That's awesome. So then, were there any specific things you struggled with or hardships you dealt with as a teen?
Yeah, totally. And so I mean, as a teenager, I mean, life is just hard, like 13 onwards, you know? So yeah, I definitely had a lot of anxiety, just kind of just like emotional and physical anxiety. Definitely a perfectionist. And of course that like continues to this day, but as you get older, you know, you have moments of better dealing with that kind of thing than when you're a teenager. So, you know, so now I have just kind of like just general daily anxiety, but I recently started going to therapy, which has been awesome. I was kind of resistant to that for a really long time, but it's been so freeing to be really open with someone and talk about how you feel and, you know, talk about everything that's been happening in your life. And like, maybe they're not necessarily telling you something that's really helping, but you just saying it to someone, like to a stranger, is really helpful. And I've found that, I mean, I've only been doing that now since this past November, but I found that it's helped me so much, just like in my personal relationships and then how I process and deal with, like, you know, just daily annoyances.
It's kind of amazing that you said this is their first time ever going to like a counseling type thing.
Right. Yeah. I went like maybe one time in college in high school after Katrina, because I mean, I guess that was like encouraged, but it never really caught on for me. I was like over it. I was a, you know, hormonal teenager. I was like, no, but yeah, but now I'm like more mature and ready to do it.
Well, it's amazing you found a good counselor, because I will say I've gone to at least 8 or 10 of them like mm-hmm. over my life, and I still haven't found one that I liked. And most recently was when I moved to Florida 2.5 years ago. And I'm like, my husband's like, give her more of a chance. I'm like, but I don't connect with her. Like, and she was very like, I don't know. So the fact that you found someone that you connect with that fast, that's like a huge blessing.
Yeah. Well, I realized, I guess I did try one other person after I left my job, because I was like, okay, I'm leaving my job. I know I have trouble with really big changes. So I did try a counselor and I did not click with her at all. I think I went once. So then the woman I recently found, yeah, I do really like her, because she's more of a cognitive approach, which I like. And also she is about different methods like mindfulness and meditation. And she's open-minded. And I also found out that her birthday is the day before mine, which I thought
was fun. So does she, like, do you actually meditate with her in there? Like, does she teach you different tips because she's cognitive?
Or she just kind of like, she says she meditates and told me some apps that work for her. And then she gives me like handouts of things and kind of just, she just kind of leaves it up to me to take it and do it on my own, which I have a hard time of breaking habits. So I'm still trying to do that. But even just like taking deep breaths helps like immensely.
I'll have to take more deep breaths.
Yeah. Just even just one really deep breath. Cause sometimes it's hard. Like you want to take a deep breath, but you're just like so emotionally just kind of like strung out, you're like, I just can't. But if you just force yourself to do it, it just helps right away, at least for me.
Yay, for you, me. Yeah.
Actually, at our wedding, I was so nervous about the ceremony because, like, I do have a little bit of social anxiety. I'm definitely an introvert, and I'm so nervous about the ceremony, but it ended up being one of my favorite parts. But it was funny because, like, right at the end, we said all of our words. I just took a big, deep sigh, and I heard a few people laugh. But I was just so relieved.
I was so – it didn't occur to me, like, when I was getting married that everyone's going to stare at you while you walk down an aisle. I don't know why I forgot about that part. Or, like,
oh, I didn't forget.
But I was so scared. Like, I didn't want to do it. Like, my dad kind of, like, dragged me down the aisle. Yeah. Like, I mean, I obviously wanted to marry my husband, but he had to, like, assist me to be, like, the center of attention.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, people would tell me, you know, just look at your future husband and that's all you'll see. And it was so funny because as I'm walking down the aisle, some miscommunication happened with the cues. And they told him to go up to the altar too late. So I'm walking up, and for a split second, I didn't even see him after everyone's saying, let's focus on him. But then I saw him walking up, and it's true. Like, I just focused on him, and, like, it was like nobody else was there. And that really helped.
That's awesome. I don't remember what I focused on.
Yeah.
I just remained really nervous.
Yeah. Luckily, we have a video too, so I'm looking forward to seeing that and remembering it.
I wish I had it. That's one of the things I'm like, oh, I wish I kind of did that. Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I've heard a lot of people say that. So that's why I was like, okay, I'm just going to pay for it.
So let's talk about a time you fell and got back up again.
Well, I feel like I wouldn't say there's, like, been one really, like, big moment like that for me. It's sort of just, like, the daily struggle of internal dialogue. And that's just, like, you know, a constant thing to improve upon for me. That, for me, that manifests in perfection and thinking about the future and thinking about the future of my business and, like, where I want to take it and, you know, nothing really ever being enough, even though, you know, like, I've accomplished some of, like, what, you know, were my biggest dreams. And it's, like, still, you know, I'm thinking forward. So I think just, like, remaining present for me is a constant struggle. So yeah, that's what I'm just always trying to, like, basically change my brain and get it to think better and more efficiently so that I can just, like, relax and enjoy my life.
That's so hard. I totally feel you with all of those things.
Yes.
It's so sad though, because, like, we make a list and we check off some things, and then all of a sudden the things that seemed like the world they turn into not enough all over again.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
And they're done, and you're like, okay, the next thing.
I have trouble with this. I'm not sure if you do. I have trouble, like, celebrating. Like, I'm like, oh, right. Okay, like, I got this big thing happened. Like, I got a book deal. Like, let's celebrate it. Just, like, I just kind of move. Like, I'm present for, like, a moment, and I'm like, yay, high five, husband, or high five, whoever. Like, let's eat a cookie. And then I'm like, on to the next.
yeah totally. And I don't really know what the solution to that is, but I guess just trying to, like, maybe just, like, saying it in your head or out loud, like, this is what I've accomplished, and then maybe, you know, it'll manifest more deeply.
I hope so.
Yeah.
We just have to have more parties. Like, yeah. Like, congratulations, you made your new website. Time for dinner.
Yeah, yeah. Or, like, congratulations, you made dinner.
That too.
Yeah.
So is there, I know you kind of talked about being present and big breaths, but is there something or someone who specifically helps you when, like, you're really struggling with anxiety or really struggling with, like, the not enoughness or the internal voices?
Yeah, totally. I'm always calling my mom. She's awesome. And, you know, and then my partner, Michael, and then our dog, Roxy, you know, they're just kind of like my support group for sure. And just, like, taking a walk with my dog is really nice and helps a lot. And just being outside also is a very nice feeling, especially when you're, like, at the computer all the time or in a little office.
No, it's totally true. I literally started a dog walking business so I could see more dogs and leave my house. Cause I'm like, I'm home all the time and I'm going insane.
You know, I love how much you work with animals. It seems like so much fun and so relaxing too.
You should find some volunteer opportunities there if you want to.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some everywhere. In New York, it was harder. Like we would, it's easier having a car. I've never been in New Orleans, so I'm not sure if it's like a walking or a driving city.
Kind of both, but yeah, we don't have great public transportation. The streetcars work, but they're also sort of a novelty because they're not very quick.
More when you have visitors.
yeah. But yeah, there's totally opportunities here for that. That would be fun.
Oh, do it. Because now this was like my last week. So I just finished at the aquarium yesterday and I finished walking with my owls on Friday and I'm like panicking. So if you find owls or turtles to work with, you'll just like keep the legacy alive.
Oh, I'm going to miss seeing you play with the owls.
Me too. Oh my goodness. I started like.
We'll never see the owls again.
Oh, you probably will, but I won't be able to hold them.
Okay.
But they'll still be there. My husband's like, we will take the baby there.
Like, do you think they got to know you?
Sometimes. Okay. I've asked like, they definitely know certain people. Like they know the people, like Patrick is like the. There's a fellow named Patrick, obviously. Yeah. I said that. He's in charge of all the birds and they know him. Like, and they know certain people who hold them. There's like certain cues or like they talk extra or like they make little noises. And I'd like to say that like some of the ones remember me, but honestly, I am not sure. I will just pretend yes.
Yeah.
Because it makes me feel better. But realistically, I'm only there once a week, so I don't really know. To be honest.
I mean, birds are really smart. I would think that they do.
I feel like Samson dances when I see him. So we're just going to say that Samson really is my boyfriend and he knows.
Yes. I like that.
We had this stingray named Waldo at the aquarium. And unfortunately he got sick. So he's not like in public viewing anymore, but mm-hmm. he was like a hyper extrovert. And he loved people. And so you would walk into the aquarium and he would swim over and he would wave on the outside of like the glass all the way through the whole thing. And he just loved people and he loved being pet. And it was
That's
like,
really cute.
Yeah. So he was my first animal boyfriend.
Aww. That sounds so cute.
Animals are the best.
Yeah, they are.
Yay. So, backtracking a little bit, even though I love talking about animals and I can like all day, how do you think all of your experiences have made you are who you are today? And how do you think they've impacted your choices or what you've done for a living maybe, or your personality?
I guess, I don't know. I guess obviously my experience have made me the person who I am today, but I guess lately what I really focus on is trying to make sure that what I'm doing every day is what I really want to be doing and spending my time wisely and passionately. So that's sort of like, you know, I'm trying to streamline really the workloads that are not so fun, maybe take on, you know, the really fun clients that I'm really inspired by. And just making sure that like I'm inspired in my daily life has been kind of my goal. And I think that comes from, you know, like as you grow up, I think you sort of a lot of the times live your life according to what other people expect you to do. Maybe that's your parents, maybe it's your friends, maybe it's just society. And I mean, I definitely still do that to some extent, but like, you know, after working for someone else for a couple of years, for example, like now I feel like, you know, I know that's like what I really don't want to do. And I don't really want to do things that I don't want to do anymore if I can avoid them. So yeah, so that's kind of been where I've been trying to head. I mean, you can't do everything you love all the time, but you can be intentional about it.
No, totally. I agree. It's a hard struggle, like trying to figure out like, especially because being a business person, there are tons of tasks that we don't want to do.
Yeah.
But it is important to feel inspired at least a little bit every day.
Yeah. And it's easy to get like sucked into like work that you don't necessarily really want to be doing long term, but you're like, okay, I'm going to just do this for now. This is, you know, I need an income, like, you know, and it's just hard to kind of break away from that. And that's sort of just like where I'm at right now, is trying to really just narrow down on my favorite things to do and my really my long-term lifestyle that I want.
Do you have any tips for, like, I'm trying to think of how to phrase the question. Like, so you did the graphic design, which led into the branding, and then the illustration kind of was leaked into the branding, and now you're moving away from that. So do you have any tips for, like
how someone would know, like, where they would want to go, or like know how to break away from past work that they don't like?
Yes, thank you for asking the correct question. I'm blaming being pregnant.
No, I think
it's not working.
I totally know what you mean. Yeah, I think, first of all, sometimes it's hard to know what you even want to do. And I still sometimes feel that way, because like I want to get more into original painting and I want to paint large scale paintings, but yet I've been a little scared lately to even just paint a large scale painting, but yet I'm so, you know, determined that that's what I want to do. So I would say, just like, if you can't break away from that particular thing because you do need the income, you know, just try and take baby steps towards, like, you know, maybe there's one client that you turn down. That's not the type of work that you want to do. And you're like, you know what? I have the space for this financially right now or time-wise, and I'm going to work on something that I'm passionate about, whether or not it's for pay or not. And just taking small steps like that, I think, really helps. It doesn't have to be all at once. I think that's what a lot of people want, including me. It's like, you want everything to be perfect right now. And it's just never the way it is.
That's such good advice. We're generally impatient and want things done quickly by nature.
Yes.
And that's not real life ever, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that all the time. I'm very impatient. I mean, I just want all my dreams to come true right now, but then it's like, are you even enjoying that? Like, and then you get them, it's like, do you even feel happy? Like,
exactly. It ties right back to like, all right, on to the next. Like, we're just right. Like shuffling through and hustling and working hard, and then it's on to the next.
Yeah. Yeah.
There has to be a middle. Like, I feel like in every podcast episode, I'm like, there needs to be a middle. It's not always related to this. I'm just like, everything has to be a middle.
Yeah. And I think something that's been a little bit more different for me lately is that I'm finding that, you know, I'm pretty much like all business, like I have been for the past, you know, a couple of years since going freelance full time. I'm like, you know, my brain is like all business a lot of the time. So what I'm finding now is that I really want to take more time in my personal life, and I feel like that's going to make me happier, but it's hard for my, you know, other side of my brain to like let go of like thinking about my business, thinking about my future plans. Like, I just want to have more time to cook because I really enjoy cooking and baking, and I really, you know, those simple things, I think if you can weave that into your life more, helps. So it's just very hard. It just depends on, and then there's some people who are the opposite. They're just like, they don't like the business task and all that stuff as much, but I actually like all that. So it's hard for me to get away.
No, I feel you. I definitely have the, not since I've been pregnant, because for some reason being pregnant made all the drive go away. But really? Before that, it was all business all the time. Like, it was so difficult to shut it off.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like very, very weird for the first, I've always had lots of goals forever. So it's very weird that for these last like 7.5 months, there's like very few goals, and even those goals are hard, and any motivation is gone. Like, all the things that I love to do that would help my anxiety, I have no drive to do any of them. I have no drive to do like anything. It's so weird.
Well, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's just like the natural way of your body slowing you down. I don't know. But that's how I felt. I mean, this is not the same at all. But like, I've been planning, you know, our wedding for the past 8 months, and I've kind of put a lot of things on hold. I even the past month and a half, I didn't do any client work. And then I was like, oh, geez, like I need income now. Like, I didn't work for a month and a half. And now I'm finally getting back into the swing of things, really in the last week. So I finally have like my drive back a little bit.
Didn't you get married like 3 weeks ago?
It's 3 weeks this Friday. So
I like how you're like, I'm finally getting back. Like it's been like months. It's like been.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean back from like basically since we got engaged. Which
oh, okay.
Why? Yeah. Yeah. So like, even though I've been kind of like working, I've still been like, my mind has been elsewhere. I've been designing pretty much everything related to the wedding. It's been like my biggest client. So it's been fun and it was so worth it. It really was. But yeah, that's just, I'm just saying like now I feel like I can focus a little more. I have a little more time.
Maybe the next 30 day project could be food related.
Yeah.
I would totally follow along. I love food.
That would be fun. Yeah. I want to do another Skillshare class. So my last Skillshare class, and I teach watercolor classes on Skillshare. And if you haven't heard of it, Skillshare is basically an online teaching platform. Anyone can teach a class on Skillshare. I've really enjoyed it a lot. And so I've had three classes now. And my last class was a 7-day floral painting challenge. So I'm trying to think of a theme for my next one. So it could be food, or it might just be like little objects, where I just teach people to paint 7 different objects every day. So
I like that.
Yeah. And I'll probably just keep doing more and more themes just to go along with all of the, like, because on Instagram I did lots of 30-day projects. I haven't done one in a while, but I actually got, oh my gosh, I just realized I totally forgot this, but I have like 2 more left in my last 30-day challenge.
2 more days?
Yeah, 2 or 3 more paintings left to do, and this one's taken me forever because I normally paint in watercolor, but most of these have been acrylic on wood panels. So it's a whole new medium for me, and I've been a little bit resistant to it, not really fully satisfied with how they've come out. So I still have 3 left to do. It's been months.
But the fact that you did it is still so impressive, because like the starting the new thing is so hard and scary and intimidating. And I know, like, I remember that project. I forgot about it as we were talking about, like before we were talking about it, but you did it. You did so many of them, and some of them sold, and I'm sure some of them are still somewhere in your studio, but.
Yeah. I still have some left because I am basically selling them as I make them, or putting them up on my site as I make them. But basically from here, they're all mostly like smaller paintings, like the biggest one's 11 by 14. But from here, this is like kind of like where I wanted to take what I learned there and then segue into bigger paintings, which is super scary for me. And also, I'm looking into moving into a bigger studio space so that I can paint really big paintings. So that's scary. So I'm kind of at a scary, you know, crossroads right now of like, do I stay where I'm comfortable or do I make a really big jump and see where it goes?
I'm excited for you. You can be scared and I'll be excited for you.
Okay.
So where online, you're welcome. Where online can people find you? What's your name on Instagram or your website or your Skillshare name?
Yeah, so my Instagram is Juliet Meeks Design, and same on Facebook. My main website is julietmeeks.com, and you can find everything on there. You can find my Skillshare classes and a link to my shop. And on Skillshare, if you just search Juliet Meeks, you should be able to find me.
I'm super excited, and I thank you for chatting with me and discussing all sorts of fun stuff. And scary stuff.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. I really like, you know, talking about these kinds of things and getting real about things. And I've been trying to be open about stuff like, you know, therapy and anxiety, because it's helpful for me and other people, I think. So no. That's why I was excited about this podcast.
Yay. I think it's super helpful. It's super helpful to be, for more people to be aware, especially when things look so perfect online that right. Even those perfect Instagram feeds are still struggling.
Right.
Like, there is no perfect.
Yes.
So I appreciate your honesty.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. If you liked the episode, please subscribe, or even better, leave a review. It makes iTunes really happy and hopefully makes them share this podcast with other people, which would make me really happy. If you have any ideas for topics to cover or for people you'd like me to interview, please email me. My email address is in the show notes, and thank you again. Have a great day.